yes, I'm speaking about collaboration that is done with Lassi Päivärinta from Rolf Nevalina Institute, like myself, and Eero Saksman from Finland, from University of Jyväskylä. So let me explain first what type of problems we consider. In R2, where V satisfies two-dimensional Sommerfeld radiation condition, and because this is medical imaging meeting, I consider also acoustic equation also in play. And actually, the results that we did were for Schrödinger operator, and there we don't do any approximations. But because of the Schrödinger equation doesn't have so much applications in medical imaging, I here tell about the results in terms of acoustic equation with the following approximation. So let us assume that we consider the Born series. So here U0 is the incident wave that is equal G, that is the empty space Green's function. I think you use here the notation that y is the source point and x is the point where we observe the wave. So U0 is this empty space Green's function, and the higher order terms in Born series for acoustic equations are given by this type of iteration. And now, of course, this Born series doesn't converge well for acoustic equation, so this series only formal. For Schrödinger operator, it converges, and we could analyze Schrödinger operator rigorously. But for the acoustic equation, we have to consider the single scattering approximation. So we omit the multiple scattering terms, and in that case, the inverse problem for Schrödinger operator is equivalent to the inverse problem for the acoustic equation, when Q, the potential Q, is K times K squared times rho. So I repeat that for Schrödinger operator, all reconstructions could be done without any approximations. But this is the only approximation we have to do for the acoustic equation.
Can you focus the center of the image?
Okay. It's fine now? Thanks. So there's lots of study, like you know, for deterministic inverse problems by Silvester Ullmann, Novikov, Henkin, Nachman, Brown, Ullmann, and others. Here, these results correspond Schrödinger operator, conductivity operator, acoustic operator, and first order system that is equivalent to conductivity equation. And all of this can be somehow solved by using exponentially growing solutions and Silvester-Ullmann technique. And typical features are that they apply harmonic and microlocal analysis, and they are rigorous. But the price that you have to pay is that the reconstruction algorithms are very nonlinear. So when the solution is nonlinear and unstable, then when you try to do it in practice, it's very hard because of this combination of nonlinearity and instability. Then there is lots of study, especially in engineering literature, on inverse problems in random media. Then the scatterers can be very complicated, and you don't want to construct the scatterer exactly. You're interested about characteristic properties, like correlation lengths. But then the results are often approximative, but the reconstruction algorithms are more stable, often linear. There's also interesting approach by Papanikolaou and others that is related to asymptotics, where you assume that the scatterer depends on some scale parameter epsilon, as well as the frequency k, and then you analyze what happens when epsilon goes to zero. And here our purpose was to start simple equation study, to study the Schrödinger operator and do everything rigorously, and not to use, for instance, asymptotics, so that we don't have to assume that we are working with certain scales. So we consider the following problem. Assume that we have data from one realization that is the same as sample of random media with many frequencies, all frequencies actually. Can we construct the stochastical characteristics of the scatter? Let me explain what this means by one-dimensional example. So let us consider stochastical process y. So this y is function of s. That one is at time 0, and for instance is some function a of s times Brownian motion, so times white noise at time s. So this here is the stochastical rule. And then you think that you have one single realization that looks, for instance, like this. And like from the picture, you can see that this would be area where A is big, so there's lots of fluctuations. And you ask that you have measurements from one single realization. So there is some stochastical process that has formed this kind of pattern. So you have measurements from this kind of structure. And you ask that, can you see from measurements what was the area, for instance, where A of S was big? So you can think that if this is like, if the fluctuations are here small and here big, maybe these are separate materials. So you want from one realization to say what are the properties of the stochastical rule that formed this process. And we assume that we have measurements only from one realization. So when you do measurements with different frequencies, we assume that the scatterer does not change from measurement to measurement.
So the scatterer is a deterministic scatter?
Yes, but formed by stochastical process. So let me explain what type of scatterer we study and what is the signal. So now with the acoustical scattering, we have looked only the signal scattering approximation that is given here. Here omega means the element of probability space. So this is function of probability space. That means that it is random. And we have two assumptions. First is that we assume that rho is Gaussian random field. I will explain later what this means. And second is that rho is microlocally isotropic. If you look it on very small level, like, then it is somehow, there are no preferable directions. It looks the same way to all directions. These are defined in next slides. So here is what it means that the process is Gaussian. Actually, we don't think about only the Gaussian functions. We look only also Gaussian generalized functions. So it is like distribution in the deterministic terminology. So it means that if we take any test function in D, that is in R2, then rho tested with this test function is ordinary Gaussian random variable. And we assume that expectation of rho is zero, and I denote the covariance. This is actually not necessary, it just makes notations here simple. And I assume that I denote the covariance function, the covariance of rho at point x and at point y, by cxy. This covariance function, c, defines an operator which Schwarz kernel is this covariance function, and it is given here. And typically, this function cxy is smooth outside the diagonal. For instance, in this our example, we have that if we look function C S1 S2, that is expectation of y at S1, y at S2. I fix S2 and consider this as function of S1. And then I see that this here is integral from minimum of S1 and S2, 1 half A S squared ds. And this here, if you look how it is like 1 over 1 fourth absolute value of S1 minus S2 times A S2 squared plus something smoother. So this is smooth function outside the diagonal. This is typical for models in for random fields. And the singularity on the diagonal determines how non-smooth the realizations are. And what else? So we generalize this. We assume that this operator, covariance operator is a pseudo-differential operator, because this property is typical for pseudo-differential operators. They usually, the Schwarz kernels are that they always are smooth outside the diagonal, and the converse is almost true. I mean, the singularity has just to be of certain kind. So this is the definition. What means that the random field is microlocally isotropic, I say of order t. First, I assume that the covariance operator is a pseudo-differential operator, and I assume that the symbol looks like this. So here we have the principal symbol. I assume that the principal symbol is homogeneous in the way that it doesn't depend on the direction of xi. This is that the material is what we call that the material is microlocally isotropic. So if you look it somehow microlocally, it doesn't depend on direction. And this function mu of x, this principal symbol, determines the roughness of the function around the point z. So for instance, in here, when we have this kind of covariance function, then the symbol of the covariance operator at point S C is 1 fourth A S squared absolute value of psi to power minus 1 plus lower order terms. And the inverse problem that we study now is that we do scattering measurements and we ask, can we find this function here? Because it determines somehow the subfluctuation strength locally at point S. Well, one more comment. In the special case when t is 2, then the covariance function has this kind of behavior, so it blows up. And in this case, we can think that this mu of x is related to the correlation length of the media. Why is that? If we put here some artificial bound that is very large, here is the y value of y is fixed, we ask how far we have to go from x so that the correlation drops below given bound. So it tells how far you have to go from point x so that correlation goes sufficiently small. And this is typical for correlation length. So you can think that in this case, function mu of x that we don't want to reconstruct is related to correlation length. So these were our assumptions, that we have a Gaussian random field which covariance operator is pure differential operator of certain type, and we want to reconstruct it. Are there some other examples on this? Yes. For instance, if you consider so-called Markov fields, they have this kind of properties and even more. What is first, what is Markov field? A random field rho is Markov if the following is true, that if you have three domains, open domain A1 here, open domain A2, that is the outside here, and then this kind of boundary color. Then if you assume that the rho is known in this color N, then the fields here outside and inside are independent. So this is a generalization of a lattice model in discrete stochastics. It says that all interaction from here to here goes through this boundary layer. So there is no direct long distance interactions, only through neighboring somehow points. This has very strong effects for the covariance operator. Namely, the covariance function is a Green's function of an elliptic partial differential operator. For instance, if you consider this kind of operator here, that is of second order, where this here is scalar, it could be generally matrix, but I assume that it's scalar, then it turns out that the random field is microlocally isotropic of order 2. This is of course a very nice thing, because instead of having this kind of function that depends on two variables, you want to reconstruct, for instance, this here that depends only on two variables. So you somehow shrink the dimension of your unknown. So let me formulate the main result for the acoustic case. It's here. So assuming that we do measurements in domain U, that is here, and the random potential is compactly supported in domain D, and it is microlocally isotropic field of some order T. Then we do the following measurement. Let me explain what this measurement is. This is very close to the measurement that we heard from the talk of George Papanikolaou. It's the following. We look first the backscattered signal. In the acoustic case, we consider now the single scattering approximation. So this is this because the potential is random. Also, this is random. So this is the element probability space. This is frequency, and then this is the source and measurement points that are the same. Then we look the amplitude of this and multiply it with some power. That's right. Of k. And then I average over all frequencies. This is the measurement. That is of course a random function, because I didn't take any expectation. So we have measurements from one realization only. But it turns out that this is statistically stable measurement. It means that it is not actually a random variable. It coincides with probability one with a deterministic function. And moreover, this deterministic function here in the domain U determines the principal part of the covariance operator, the symbol, the function mu unit. What is the reason somehow for this? It is that even though we have measurements from one realization only, there are lots of very much discontinuities in the media. And at each point, there are probably one discontinuity to each direction. And that's why we can see something from backscattering measurements. And let me a little bit explain how this can kind of results can be proven. Now we use a little bit microlocal analysis for following thing. We look this, here we have this measurement signal that we need with many frequencies. We look at it on two frequencies, frequency K1 and K2. And it satisfies this kind of estimate. So when K1 and K2 are far away, it's very small. So this means that the signal on this area and this area, if this gap is large enough, they are almost uncorrelated. So this kind of signal is ergodic in time. I will return to this. But how to prove this type of estimates? We use the fact that the covariance operator was a pseudo differential operator, which means that its covariance function, the kernel of this operator, is a Kornelmann distribution. Then when we start to compute this quantity here, we just use scattering theory to explicitly compute what it is. It's approximately this. Actually, we could estimate this error explicitly, but I don't want to go it here. It is this kind of oscillatory integral. And then we use the fact also that the Kornelmann distribution is also an oscillatory integral. And when we put all this together, it turns out that in right coordinates, coordinates S1, S2 of the plane, this quantity is this kind of integral. That is actually, it is the Fourier transform. So here we have the symbol in right coordinates, symbol when C is equal to C1 plus C2, and 0 is the second component. And we compute this Fourier transform respect of S variables. Now symbol is smooth function in S variables. The scatterer is compactly supported in a compactly supported domain. So this is a smooth, compactly supported function in terms of S. So when we take the Fourier transform of compactly supported function, it's rapidly decreasing. And this is what causes this kind of estimate. So how we use this 5 minutes, yeah. How we use these estimates? Like I said, this estimate meant that the signal that we measure with two different areas of frequencies, they are almost uncorrelated. So the process is ergodic. It means that when we average over this, when we average over all frequencies, this limit converges to the average that is here. And this is exactly our deterministic function. So this proves, this ergodicity proves that the random function that we measure almost surely is equal to some deterministic function. And the deterministic function, when we do the symbol computations, it turns out that it is this kind of integral. So it's an integral with some weights of this principal symbol mu of x.
What is the difference between u1 that depends on omega and u1 that does not?
This would also depend on omega.
Okay.
But when we take average of it, I mean, this quantity doesn't anymore depend. So this is a deterministic quantity, and this is random variable that is almost surely, deterministic. So it's as function of omega, it is constant almost everywhere. And then we use this. So how we can go from here to mu? It is a standard problem of integral geometry. We see that this data determines integral averages of the function mu over all spheres that are centered in the measurement domain. And these are enough to determine this mu of x. And let me finish this by saying what is the results for the Schrödinger operator, where the multiple scattering can also include it. It is that if Q is macrolocally only isotropic and of order 2, it means then actually that Q is not a function anymore. It is a distribution. One has to develop a theory for distribution potentials, scattering for it for them, look how Born series converges, and obtain this kind of result that the measurements exist again, almost surely, even though the potential is not function anymore. And the measurements coincide with deterministic function, and the deterministic functions on diagonal, that is the backscattering data, determines the principal symbol of the covariance operator. That's all. Thank you very much.
those of you, do you have any feeling at all for whether tissue or X-rays can be thought of as Gaussian or non-Gaussian random fields? Do the fourth moments ever be measured, and do they factor into products?
Yes, I don't know. It's like how we just thought that somehow one has to start the careful analysis with Gaussian fields. So I don't know about how realistic that is for biological tissues.
Any other questions?
I'm not sure where this question is going exactly. Forgive me, but I know there are real problems with the existence of the solution in R3.
Yes.
Do these results bear on that problem at all? And have you looked at that?
So you mean the...
If you have a Gaussian random medium in R3, a Gaussian random potential in R3, you simply can't. The problem is fundamentally underdetermined for even if you can control all the scattering of the medium.
Yes, I mean in three-dimensional case, this result, there is a very delicate balance. What is the non-smoothness of Q? Because you have to look how the what is the error term, how big the Born serial higher order terms are, and how rough the potential is. And in 3D, you get to some difficulties with.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? Let's thank the speaker again.